Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 415, Hearing God's Voice. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, April 6th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
God is good.
Amen.
All the time. God is good. Yesterday was such a blessing, wasn't it?
Yes.
The blessing party, were you blessed?
Yes.
Me too. It was awesome. Praise the Lord. Okay, today we're going to talk about hearing God's voice. This is such a foundational, it seemed like so simple. And when I felt like I was supposed to preach this, I was like, well, we already know that. That's like so basic. And he's like, yeah, exactly. That's why you need to talk about it. Because it's so foundational, if I can just repeat that word, for our relationship with the Lord. Hearing his voice. We sing a lot of songs. We say, Jesus is my Lord, but is he really? So learning to hear his voice is essential for us as believers, because we're not following our own voice. We're not following ourselves or our logic or our emotions or any of this. We're following the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to be able to hear his voice. And what? How does that sound? And how does that work? And this was a topic for me as a young believer that I struggled with a lot. It's been a process for me over the years, even to grow in this and to understand. And I don't know if anyone can relate to this. It's an area where the devil can really lie to you and say, well, you can't hear God's voice. And let me just tell you, we just stomp that lie under our feet. We just, our feet. We put it under our feet and we cancel that lie in Jesus' name, because it's just that. It's a lie that you can't hear God's voice. He has designed you. He has created you so that you can hear his voice. And we're going to talk about some things about positioning ourselves to hear his voice, and how we can practice doing that in our lives, and look at some scriptures and things. But let's come up higher. Let's grow with him. It's all about relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I can't, it's just about relationship. If I want to get to know somebody and be able to recognize their voice when they're speaking, then I need to fellowship with that person. I need to spend time with that person. I need to recognize their voice. You know, there's people in your lives, right, that you know their voice. Like, if you're married, your husband or wife, your best friend, and maybe they call you. Okay, now we have cell phones and their number shows up, their name shows up. But let's say you didn't see who it was that was calling you. You recognize that voice immediately. If they just say one word, right? Yeah. Hi. You know, because you've spent time with that person. You've heard their voice. You've heard the inflections of their voice. And you might even be able to tell by that one word, like, how they're doing, you know, because you've spent time. There's relationship there. And that's how we need to be with the Lord, to spend time in his presence, to foster that relationship, invest in that time with him so that we can recognize his voice. And so I just say, you know, this is one of the first verses that I learned when I was a Christian. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So do not let the enemy lie to you. He's the defeated one. At any point during this message or afterwards or this week about, well, you can't hear God's voice. Well, you don't hear God's voice as well as so-and-so or this person. Look at that. And when somebody else is sharing something that God spoke to them, guard your heart. Guard your heart so that you're not don't fall into comparison. Because this is a trap that I fell into many times, and I've learned, you know what? You can't force God to speak to you. I can't control when God speaks to me. And so I've had to learn to take the pressure off, Right? It's about me positioning my heart. It's about me spending time with him, getting to know him, saying, God, I want to hear your voice because I want to follow you. And I can't follow you if I don't hear what direction to go, right? And what to do or what not to do. And so let us be so tuned in that we can be tuned in, because there's a lot of noise, right? There's a lot of voices that we hear. We hear the voice of the fake news. We hear the voice of the TV. We hear the radio. We hear our family members' voices. We hear false prophets that are speaking lies. It could be on a large scale, or, you know, a false prophet, somebody in your life that's speaking, you know, false stuff. And there's the voice of the enemy. And it's like, hey, stop all that out, you know, filter all of that out. And we should learn, like a radio, dial on a radio, learn to tune in to God's voice. And that comes through relationship and comes with time with him. So he's such a loving father, and he wants more than anyone. He wants us to hear him. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He is the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. We are his children, and he desires for us to know what he's speaking. So just take the pressure off yourself. Get out of condemnation. Come out of comparison, and just spend time with him, and it will come. His voice will come, and he will teach you. That can be a simple prayer. God, teach me to hear your voice and hear your voice better and more tuned in, because I want that in my life. He desires us to seek after him. So let's go to some scripture. John 10, we'll start at 1. And this is Jesus talking. This passage is so awesome. All of John 10 is really amazing, but I'm just going to focus on the beginning, John 10, 1 through 5. So Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Okay, when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, we better tune our ears. We better listen, right? Yes. He's speaking truth, and we need his truth. Yes. Right? I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. And then skip to verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. That is so good. I'm going to read it again. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they know me. So in the ancient world, political and spiritual leaders were often called shepherds. But Jesus explained here that not all were true shepherds. There were shepherds politically and spiritually that were leading the people astray. And so some came in like thieves and like robbers. He's making a metaphor here to speak truth and teach us. And some gained entry among the sheep in an illegal way, we'll say, an unlawful way, right? Through talking about spiritual and political leaders, they would do that through personal gain, their ambition, like political or personal connections, maybe through their formal education, like the religious folks, through manipulation, through corruption. And that's the way that they would become the shepherd of the people. And they would lead the people in wrong ways. And so this is Jesus saying here that Jesus is the true shepherd. He is the one that leads us. That he entered through the legitimate way of love, right? God sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. He gained legal access. And through calling and through his care and his service for us, that is the legitimate way that he has become our shepherd. So if the Lord is my shepherd and the Lord is your shepherd, then we have the best care around. He is the best shepherd. He's the one that takes care of you the most, the best, to the best quality of care that you could have. Yeah. So has anyone read this book, this little book? I think we have some around. A shepherd looks at Psalm 23. This book is really deep. It's really amazing. I have some of the message, took some excerpts, and I'm going to read a page from it. But this describes, so this author, W. Philip Keller, was a shepherd. I don't believe he's still living. I don't know too much about him personally, but he was a shepherd. And so he has gotten revelation about Psalm 23, about the Lord being our shepherd, I shall not be in want, and all, you know, that psalm, because he was a shepherd, he understood of what David was trying to say. And it, when he explains to you things about what a shepherd does and the sheep, oh, it just gives such depth to the relationship in understanding how the Lord is our shepherd. So if we say the Lord is my shepherd, a shepherd would, there could be a good shepherd and a bad shepherd, but a good shepherd, let's describe the good shepherd, would be one that would spend hours caring for the flock, caring about the grass and the ground that they were grazing, because there could be good ground and bad ground. If they're grazing in mud and it's just all turned over and they never give the fields a rest, there would be parasites, there would be problems that would come, there would be muddy water, they're not drinking clear water. They would watch over the flock at night because wolves and other predators could come and prey on them. And so a good shepherd would be one that would watch out night and day for the kind of care that the sheep were getting in every care of food and land and water and all the things. So when we say that the Lord is my shepherd, we're saying we have the best care. He knows how to care for us. He knows what we need. And he is the best shepherd that we could have, the best leader and the best guide that we could have. We will flourish when we are in his care. And then going to the verse where it's specifically verse 3, where it says that we are the sheep and we recognize his voice. Take a look at that. It says, so the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. Now, this is a real thing, if you've heard anything about sheep, that shepherds have, each shepherd has a distinct call. I'm not going to try to do it. I don't even really know. But they do have a specific clicking or sounds or things that they do that it's like somehow the sheep are programmed to, they know that is their shepherd, and they will follow that voice, and the voice of a stranger, they won't follow. So if I go in and try to pretend to be a shepherd and do some, even if I hear what the call is and I try to imitate, they're not going to follow me. They're not. They know, hey, that's a false. She's trying real hard, but that is not it. And they're not going to follow. So he's saying, if you are his child, if you are his sheep, then we will recognize his voice. It says we recognize his voice and we will follow him. And that comes, like I said, that comes, we learn how to do that through a personal connection with him, that relationship with him. There's a story in this book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by W. Philip Keller. There's a story in here that I want to reiterate, share with you. And it says that during World War I, some soldiers tried to steal a flock of sheep from a hillside nearby Jerusalem. And the sleeping shepherd awoke to find his flock being driven off. And he couldn't recapture them by force, so he called out to his flock with his distinctive call. The sheep listened and returned to their rightful owner. The soldiers couldn't stop the sheep from returning to their shepherd's voice. They couldn't interfere. So even when the enemy is trying to say a lie, trying to derail you and get you off course, this says that we should have faith in this word, his word that says we are his sheep and we hear his voice. And that can be a declaration that in your life that, God, I hear your voice, the voice of a stranger, I will not follow. Amen. There's a verse somewhere in the Bible that says those who belong to God hear what God says. If you belong to him, if you are his child, if you are his sheep, you will hear his voice. He will make it clear to you. He will teach you how to hear his voice. So us, God's children, we are ones that are hearing his voice and following. Now, this kind of sounds like how we define a disciple around here, right? At my father's house, you know the three-part definition of what we say a disciple is? The first part is somebody who is
following.
Okay, a couple people. So we need to keep reviewing this. Following people. The leaders know it. Praise the Lord. A disciple is somebody who is following Jesus. What does that mean? Following Jesus. You go where Jesus goes, right? It's part of that is hearing his voice. We talked about this at our disciple-making 101 training class that we had last Saturday. And as we were talking about this, I got this picture of trying to follow somebody, like through a busy place, like a crowd. Imagine you're in a busy airport or you're in a mall and there's lots of people, lots of sounds, lots of voices. But you're expected, let's say you're in an airport, right? And you have to stay with your group, with your person. Let's say we're all going on a mission trip, my father's house, right?
Israel.
And somebody, Pastor Harley's leading okay, we're going to Israel. That's good. I like that. We can get excited about that. So we're going to Israel and we have to transfer in somewhere, some big airport. And we got to stay together and somebody's leading the pack and we're supposed to stay with that person. Is it going to be helpful if you're like sauntering along? Let's say we got to get there. We got to get to our gate. In order to follow that person, you're going to want to stay close. You're going to want to stay as close as you can because there's going to be lots of sounds. There's going to be people that cut through. It's a picture of us in this world. Right? Of lots of interference, lots of things going on, lots of things being offered to us, lots of stimulation. But I'm supposed to, my job, so to speak, what I'm supposed to be doing is following Jesus, following that person. And I better stay close in step so that I can hear them. What if they say, oh, we're going to go up here and then make a left. If I miss that, well, I'm following, so I'm going to get there. Right? But it's all of it, hearing their voice, seeing where they go, being in step with the Spirit of God.
Yes. Amen.
You can't follow in step with someone that you don't have an active relationship with, that you're not trying to pursue. A disciple is somebody who is pursuing, following Jesus. And I'll just finish the definition just for closure of that sake. The second part of a disciple, so first is somebody who's following Jesus, somebody who is being transformed by Jesus. And that happens by hearing his voice, reading his word and hearing his voice. That's how we're transformed. And then being on mission. It's somebody who is being on mission with Jesus. So back to John 10, it says in verse 4 that we follow him because we know his voice. We've spent time with him. We've spent time with him in his word so that we can recognize what is his voice speaking and what is, oh, that's not God. That smells a little fishy. That smells like something else. That's not God. So the more you know his true voice, the more you will recognize a counterfeit and you'll run away from it. Like it says, the sheep will not recognize the voice of a stranger. They'll run away from it. You know, the people in the United States who are in charge of, you know, I guess it's the banks that are in charge of recognizing false bills, false dollars, that they spend countless hours in order to recognize a counterfeit and recognize one that doesn't, that is fake. They spend countless hours studying the true one, the dollar or whatever bill they're studying, you know, all those, so that they can recognize it. So in that same way, we should spend our time developing this like accuracy, really, of being able to identify what is God's voice. We do that through his word. And we will begin to recognize and tune in more fine-tune each time. As we read his word, we will recognize his voice. And so then when a counterfeit voice, a lying voice comes into play, you can say, no, that's not my good shepherd. That's not the voice of my good shepherd. I'm hightailing it out of here because that doesn't line up with what I know to be the truth of his word, the truth of his voice speaking to my heart. And then verse 27, it repeats. I'm going to read verse 27 again. John 10, where did it go? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. This repeats about this exchange of relationship, that God, the good shepherd, he speaks, and us, his sheep, we listen.
Amen.
Wow. We know him. Like there's an intimacy there of knowing him, knowing his character, knowing what he's about and what he's not about. And he knows us, and then we follow him. We can follow him because we know him, because we recognize his voice. This is so exciting to me. I always loved this. And I think maybe that's, I don't know. I know that the devil tried to attack me early on as a believer in this area. And I would say to God, oh, I just love hearing your voice. When I get it, like, yay, I got it. Like, I got the memo. Like, I got the spiritual memo. Does anyone else get excited? Like, we should still get excited about this. Because when God is leading us and guiding us, even when it maybe doesn't feel so nice, or he says no, or he says wait about something, or, you know, speaking some discipline or correction, we'll praise God. Because essentially he's helping us to dodge a bullet, because he knows best for us, right? And the fact that we can have this vibrant and alive and like real authentic relationship with the creator of the universe, with my good shepherd, like I can know him, I can connect to him, I can hear his voice. Doesn't that get you excited?
Yes.
That is so cool. And that is like amazing part of, I say Christianity, but about following Jesus, because I don't know a whole lot about other religions, but I don't think there's another religion where the God or the one being worshipped has this personal connection, and it's based on love and speaks to the subject, us, and that there's love there. There's a lot of other religions that are formed out of, you know, based on fear. And like controlling kind of thing. And so that I can hear his voice and he knows me and it's a loving relationship, that is awesome. How amazing it is to be Christians, to be followers of Jesus, and that we can learn each time more, each day more, to hear his voice. That is exciting to me. And I've already shared this, but that I just say, God, it just melts my heart when I hear you. And I know that it's your voice. I know it's you speaking to me. That just, it's just the best thing ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. We're going to go to another scripture, and I'll just set the context for you. In John 8, verse 47, the context here is that Jesus is calling out the Pharisees, the religious folks, for not belonging to God because they don't listen to the truth of the Father. Their hearts were closed off. They had all the rules and the religion and the rigidity, but they didn't listen to the heart of the Father. They didn't. They were blocking the truth of the Father. And so they were showing that they belong to the father of lies. That's what the Bible calls the devil, the father of lies. So John 8, verse 47, it says, anyone, say anyone.
Anyone.
That's any one of us, right? No exceptions. He is no respecter of persons. So anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. This is strong. Jesus is saying this to these people, that you don't belong because you're not listening to him.
Come on.
Wow. So if we're not listening to him, well, let's say it in the positive. If you are a child of God, then a characteristic of us is that we listen to God, that we follow his voice. That should be a defining thing about us, characteristic of his children, that we hear his voice and we listen and to what God speaks into our lives. That should be like, oh yeah, those are people that, you know, even if the world thinks that it's kind of strange or kind of weird, but they hear God's voice. And then when they need something, they're going to go to you because you get the divine memo, praise the Lord, from the Lord. So he called them out, didn't he? He was saying, you don't really belong to God if you're not listening gladly. Are we listening? Are we a people that are following Jesus, listening gladly with joy in our hearts to hear what he has to say? You know, even welcoming his correction in our lives. It's not as fun. It doesn't feel as good. Or an or assignment that he gives you that you just feel. We go wrong when we go by the feelings. But we feel something about it, like, I can't do this, or I don't know. And we get off track because then we start listening to the feelings more than God. Or we start, like, arguing with God, or like telling him what would be better if he would, you know, do this, do that. God, we try to give God some advice about how to lead us. Like, was it Brian Sanders or Chad yesterday that was saying that, maybe Brian, that was saying that, telling a testimony about that, like trying to help God out. And we just need to surrender and let him be in the front seat, even when we're in a bad way and we think that we have it all together, but we don't. So one person and one in scenario, that's not scenario, what's the right word? Story, I guess, in the Bible that I want to take a look at is Elijah. And when God spoke to him, like, no matter what our circumstances are, and when we are struggling, he will send his voice to us. You know, Elijah, the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 18 and 19, this was just after Elijah had this great victory, right, over the prophets of Baal, that he challenged them on Mount Carmel. Like, if you really think that your God is going to show up, then have him show up and burn up, you know, the sacrifice on the altar. And so God came down, remember this, and consumed the fire and the water, and all. It was an amazing victory, showing that God is real and his power and is bigger, yes, greater. And so then that upset some folks, right? That upset Ahab, went back and told Jezebel, and she wanted the prophet Elijah dead, and she was out to have him killed. So Elijah runs for his life, right? And he hid in fear. Can any of us relate to this? Not such a great, proud moment in our lives when, you know, the enemy comes after us and we listen, we allow that fear to be planted, those lies, right? And because this was after a huge victory, and sometimes after a victory is when we're very vulnerable to attacks from the devil, or like after a time of fasting, like what happened with Jesus in the desert. But so Elijah, he runs away, he hid in fear, and then he prays to die. Like, this is bad, a bad situation. He's in crisis, right? He falls asleep, and then the angel comes and feeds him. And then that cycle repeated. He fell asleep again. The angel fed him again. Isn't God's provision good? Yes. When we're in crisis, he will come to you. He will help you. He will strengthen you. He will feed you. And then he will speak to you. So it says Elijah traveled 40 days and nights, and he reached the mountain of Horeb. And I'm sure he was quite tired at that time. And after traveling by foot, right, 40 days and 40 nights. And then he went into a cave and he slept. And that's where we're going to read. So 1 Kings 19, starting at verse 9. So the Lord, he's sleeping in a cave, and the Lord comes and speaks to him. 1 Kings 19, 9 through 13. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" It's like, in the garden when he asked Adam and Eve, he knew what he was doing. He knew he was in fear, but he asked so that Elijah could pinpoint himself wake him up out of his stupor of fear and hiding. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Verse 10, 1 Kings 19. Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Go out," this is God now saying, "go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Wow. So the Lord asks Elijah the same question as before, and he responds, and then he gives Elijah instructions. And Elijah was believing this lie that I'm the only one, this is so terrible, I'm the only one left, there's nobody else, and this is all bad. And God's like, yeah, no, that's not true. Like, listen to my voice, right? And so then he goes with the series of the wind and the fire and the earthquake, and God is not in any of those. Sometimes we're waiting for this big manifestation, like this big flashing sign or this big earthquake to like hit me upside the head and speak to me or something. And how did God's voice come? It came in a, in this version, it says a gentle whisper. In other versions, does yours say a still small voice or small voice? That's where God met him, in a gentle whisper, gentle whisper or a small voice. That is so powerful. I mean, we think of power of like these great manifestations of like what just happened with the prophets of Baal being shown who was boss, essentially, when the Lord showed up in this great manifestation of fire and wow and all this. But God chooses to speak to Elijah's heart in just a still, small, quiet voice. And isn't that that way with us sometimes? Because I think he wants us, man, it's just so powerful when he's speaking to our human heart in that way, that he wants us to quiet ourselves, like yield to him, surrender the emotions and whatever it is that is going on so that we can hear him. We've got to quiet ourselves so that we can hear him. We've got to be close by to his heart so that we can hear him. So Sister Lucy, if you could go to the back, we're going to do this little demonstration. So I'm going to be like the voice of God speaking to Lucy. And I got to do this into here, but I'm going to whisper. So she is going to have to position herself so that she can hear me. Is this okay, sound? Okay. So can she hear me back there? I don't know if she can hear me back there. I will open a door of influence for you. Be still and wait for me. So if you can't hear, you better get closer. This is us in our lives. If you can't hear what God is saying like this, when he's whispering in a small voice, you better get closer to his heart. I will open a door of influence for you. Be still and wait for me. Could you hear that? What did I say? Where's my...
Be still and wait for me.
Okay, so she's saying that I said, be still and wait for me. Did you hear the first part?
You're opening a door.
I'm opening a door. I wondered if she heard that because she was still a little bit further away. But so you can turn around. So once she got closer to me, the heart of the Father, you can't maybe hear my heart beating, but hopefully we can get that close, that intimate with the Father that we can hear his voice. Thank you, Lucy. Have a seat. I just wanted to illustrate that we, you know, sometimes he is speaking in a small voice. We're waiting for this big flashing sign, and we just need to take the pressure off of ourselves. Get rid of the comparison like we talked before, and just spend time with him. Get close to him. Get in the secret place with the Father so you can hear his whisper. You can hear what he's saying. I used to complicate hearing his voice so much. And in YWAM, I felt like, you know, when I was a young person in YWAM, like people are saying, oh, I had this revelation. Oh, God spoke to me. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, I don't know. And, you know, and it was like my leaders would instruct, just go be with him. What is he whispering to your heart? Which of the outreach we had to pray about the teams. One team was going to wherever, South America, another team was going to Hawaii, I don't know, just different locations. And they would tell us the locations after the leaders prayed. And we would have, whatever, a day or two to tell them what we felt that God spoke to us. And I was in crisis. I was just like, I don't know. And when you get to that place, you're putting pressure on yourself. And where there is confusion, there's not stillness. There's not peace. Where, you know, like, I don't know what he's saying. Get with him. And just what my leader would say, well, which one like attracts you? Which one? And I knew then, and then God spoke to me and I saw this like plane. I saw this like field in one of the outreach locations was a place in like a certain area, region of Argentina. And they called it Las Pampas, and Las Pampas are like the fields. And I saw it like, I was like, I don't know what really, I didn't really know what Las Pampas was. But when God showed me that and I asked somebody like, when my leader was instructing me, because I'm like, I don't know. And I said, but I see this like waving wheat or whatever in the field. They were like, okay, what do you think? Which of those do you think that matches? Las Pampas. I went to Las Pampas because that's where God sent me. And I was like, okay, I was just making this really complicated and like striving and putting all this pressure on myself. But I had it in my heart. And so we just have to spend time with his voice, to recognize, tune into his voice, and we will. So here's some things to help us to position ourselves to hear his voice. Seek him with an open heart. Lay down your agenda. Yeah. Like, If you kind of, oh, I really like to go to Hawaii, that's my agenda. Yeah, I want to go lay on the beach. Yeah, you're going on outreach, so lay down your agenda. You're going to serve God, right? I'm just giving you an example. Habakkuk 2, verse 1, it says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. In this case, Habakkuk had a complaint on his heart that he needed to converse with God, right? But the point here is going up to the watchtower to seek God. He was waiting to see what the Lord would say, not being led by his own emotions or logic or anything. So we must seek him with an open heart. We have to quiet ourselves and avoid distractions, because he's always speaking to us. We just don't hear it. It's like we're walking through that crowded airport and there's lots of things going on, but he is speaking like that whisper. He was speaking even when she was far away. She couldn't hear me when she was way back there. But he is always speaking. Are we tuned in to his voice? Don't be like the ones who don't want to be led by him. I'm going to read this real quick, this little description in here. He's saying, of course, there's some percentage of people who will refuse to allow God to lead them. And I don't think that's any of us in here, but maybe there's certain areas of our lives that we're like closed off and like, God, you can't speak to me about this because it's too harmful or like painful for me to revisit my past or something like that. And so maybe in certain areas of our life, we're shutting God out. And so he's saying they insist on running their own lives and following the dictates of their own will. They don't want to be led by him. And then he goes on and he says, they remind me very much of a bunch of sheep I watched one day, which were being led down to a magnificent mountain stream. You can picture this. The snow-fed waters were flowing pure and clear and crystal clean between lovely banks of trees. But on the way, several stubborn sheep and their lambs stopped instead to drink from small, dirty, muddy pools beside the trail. The water was filthy and polluted, not only with the churned up mud from the passing sheep, but even with the manure and the urine of previous flocks that had passed that way. Still, these stubborn sheep were quite sure it was the best drink obtainable. The water itself was filthy and unfit for them. Much more, it was obviously contaminated with nematodes and liver fluke eggs that would eventually riddle them with internal parasites and diseases of destructive impact. Wow! That's a metaphor for us when we're closing out his voice or when we don't want to follow him. We don't want to be led by him. We're going to think that we're getting, oh, I'm getting a decent drink, but I'm drinking out of muddy waters that have parasites and things that are going to hurt me. It's harmful when we're not listening to his voice and allowing him, like really surrendering our agendas and what we want and allowing him to lead us, because he knows best for us. He has a hope and a future for us, and he's trying to get us there. And it's up to us to say, yes, I want that, and I'm going to be led by your direction, the direction of your voice. Keep short accounts with God. This is another thing to help us position. Like, repent often. Turn your heart back to him. Repent and receive forgiveness. This can be a daily thing. This can be an hourly thing. This can be a minute by minute thing. But that we keep the channel of our heart free from debris, of offense, of things, of being contaminated. Because the more free we are, the more surrendered to the Lord, the more we will be able to hear his voice. Sin is a great way to block the voice of God in your life. If you're, taking part in a chronic sin and wondering why you can't hear his voice, Get on your knees and repent and ask him for strength and ask him for what his plan is for you to get away from the chronic sin maybe that's getting you trapped up, because he wants, it's like a tube. We've got a plumber in the house, you know, like pipes. Thank you. That's the word. Pipe that's clogged and you have to pour Drano down it. When we repent, when we ask forgiveness of God, it's pouring Drano down our hearts. It's freeing us. It's clearing so that we can hear what he wants to speak to us. So keep short accounts with God. Another thing, train your spirit. We want to be led by the Spirit of God, his Spirit speaking to my human spirit. So we have to train our spirit. We've got to put the intellect and the emotions behind and allow my spirit to connect and be trained by his Spirit. And we can do that by praying in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost before you spend time with him. I mean, all through your time with him, pray in the Holy Spirit before you sit down to read the Word and, you know, for his direction to your heart. Pray in the Spirit or as you're reading. I think I demonstrated one time back some time of like asking God for revelation, reading a few words and then speaking in tongues and then reading a few more words and just like asking him to bring revelation to your heart. So we've got to train our spirit. And one way we can do that is through praying in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit.
Yes.
This is huge. Another, and I've alluded to this, but we're going to go a little bit deeper right here, is his voice is his word. His word is his voice. So one way that we can position ourselves to hear his voice, read his word. Uh-huh. And I say this with a lot of love, but sometimes people say, well, I don't hear his voice. When's the last time you picked up the Bible and read it, you lazy thing? You know, like, and I say that to myself, like, oh, God's not speaking to me. God's not speaking to me. Read the word, open it. And read what he has to say and pray in the Spirit as you do it and seek him. Position your heart that you can hear his love. This is his love letter to us. And if we're not spending time with it and if we're not opening it, then we miss out on his love letter. Don't you love receiving love letters? Like, I love you, you're the best thing ever. Those that are, you know, we've got newlyweds in the house. You know, it's just like, oh, you know. I mean, don't miss his love letter. Reading his love letter is amazing. His word is his voice. The word, scripture, is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, right? We know that verse. So when you read, the Holy Spirit will bring verses to your attention that are, wow, that's a miracle. It's applicable to what I'm going through. You read something and you realize he's speaking about this situation at work or in my family. Pay attention to what stands out to you. Sometimes it's just a word that grabs my attention and then I kind of camp out there. I'm kind of visual. And so sometimes I get a picture then of something and I go on this rabbit trail and it's like God speaking to me through what I'm reading here. The more we put his word in our hearts, then the more that he will be able to use his word to speak to us. Yeah. Because we have it in there. I mean, not everything all the time is going to be like, wow, that's a revelation. Next verse, wow, that's a revelation. But you read it and it's like stored away in your heart for one day. It will be a revelation. And the Holy Spirit will bring that to memory, you know, bring that back to you. And it's like, it's for that moment right there because I read it and I studied it and I understood what it was saying. And then it came back and I, you know, found myself, like sometimes I wake up and I'm saying something, like I'm saying scripture and it's like my spirit is ministering to me because it was in my reservoir because I studied it at another time. And so as this is an encouragement, as we're reading, you know, in our cell groups, the book of Matthew, put that in there, spend the time, not just when you're in cell group with your group, but at home, put that word in. So that you have something to draw out later. The Holy Spirit has something. It's his, that's what he does, you know, to speak to you, to make it come alive for the moment when it's needed. I remember one time, just a quick scripture or testimony of when God used, there's many, I have, I don't know if anyone else does this, where you write, I write like the date and like a specific situation, sometimes next to a certain scripture that it's like he used that to help me make a decision or something in my life or whatever. I have specific ones written like from years ago, like 15 years ago, written for my family members next to certain scriptures. And so anyways, the Lord, there was a time when I was going to somewhere, I can't remember even which country, somewhere in Latin America, and there was an outbreak of the mosquito-carrying diseases like Zika and dengue, and I was going, and fear began to set in of like, do I need to get vaccinations and like do all this stuff? And I talked to, I remember talking to pastor, and he just told me what he did, you know, but that was his direction from the Lord. But I had never stepped out in faith and like, you know, gone to a nation without maybe getting like a vaccination or something. And it was all in the news. This was some, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, maybe not even that long, 10 years ago when Zika and dengue in Brazil and all these different places. And there was a lot of fear surrounding it. And I remember God used this scripture in Deuteronomy 7 to speak to me. And then I just decided I followed what he said in his word. So Deuteronomy 7:21 says, "And the Lord will protect you from all sickness. He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases that you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all your enemies." So I'm like, well, what does that mean? Basically, he told me, you don't need to go and get a vaccination. So I stood in faith and I stood on that word. And I, as I, you know, went to that nation and served and, you know, served there, I believed and nothing happened. I didn't get, you know, I'm not,
praise the Lord.
Blood of Jesus was around me and the mosquitoes like, zoop, away. They probably didn't even bite me because I was standing on the word of God, praise the Lord, by his grace. So when you hear something from God, instead of asking, is that me, God? You know, we go through this. Is that my voice? Is that God? Is that, am I being influenced by something else? Go to his word. What he speaks to your heart, if it's not like a direct scripture, but something you just feel like, something that he says to your heart, go to the word. If you can find it or something that kind of, you know, lines up with that, okay, it's checking out, right? But if it's not, God's not going to speak something to you that goes against his word. So listen to what he's saying and line it up with the word of God. You know, I know there's an example about, you know, God's not going to tell you, go rob a bank. Like, that's not, but that seems really, like, that seems really preposterous, like, I mean, it's so far-fetched that, like, yeah, of course we're not going to say that. But let me use a different example, like, in the context of yesterday and the blessing party and us standing with Israel. What if somebody comes and says, yeah, I really feel like God is speaking to me to, you know, like, reject the Jewish people? Are you reading the Bible? Because that is not in here. And like they were saying, Brian and Chad yesterday were saying, I think Chad said this, like, if you don't, he was talking about in the context of the feast and the feast days and the calendar, the Jewish calendar, if you aren't understanding something in here, then that's how, like, wrong thinking and replacement theology comes into play, because we're just missing it. We're not understanding. So it's a time to, like, dig into the Word of God and study and look up what the biblical scholars say and get the truth about it, because God isn't going to say, we want to stay on the track, right? And God isn't going to say something that is contrary to his word. Okay. In conclusion here, I want to share just a verse in Isaiah 55, 2 and 3. It says, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? This is Isaiah 55, 2 and 3. Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. I love that. Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. Isn't that inviting? That scripture, like, come to me. He's inviting us to come to him with our hearts, with our ears wide open, that when we listen to him, we will find life. Yeah. We all want life. We want life in Jesus. And it's in his voice that we find life. Trust in the Father that loves you, that he is leading you and guiding you every day with his voice. Be led by his loving voice instead of our own stuff, our own uncertainty. The more you know his nature and his character, the more you know his word, the clearer his voice will be. And so spend time with your good shepherd and hear, learn to hear his voice.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.